Today is October the 30th. What, 29th? 30th? Yeah, see, I get these days mixed up. And this is a time of year where you notice that we're all conflicted in a lot of ways. The marketers are conflicted because they can't decide whether today they want to promote Halloween or they want to promote Christmas. Because they're already, they've been promoting Halloween for about three weeks to 4 weeks, and now they've already started promoting Christmas. And it's a weird overlay. For a lot of people, and in a lot of ways, this is one of the darkest times of the year. Now, forgive me if you think I'm being way too serious about this. We'll have to have a conversation about this later. But quite frankly, once I grew up and I came to Jesus, I didn't quite think about Halloween the same way I did before. And all that comes with it. There's a glorification of the macabre, of the evil, of the weird, of the perverted that is inherent in what is going on, and it is getting darker. There are a proliferation of awful, gross slasher movies that have kind of played now into this this time of year too, and it's just, it's not a good thing. Okay? Well, and part of what I want to talk to you today about is God captured my thoughts in the last few days about all of this. Because one of the things that you see has to do with this idea of the, I'm going to use the word, living dead. Okay? Whether it's zombies or vampires or church members. There you go. That'd be the dead living. No. But you get this idea of there's this whole weird twist that's perverting the idea of life after death. And this whole idea of you can live forever. In fact, I think that's one of the things that the Twilight movies have played into with a lot of teenagers. It's this idea that you can be 10 foot tall and bulletproof, and you can live forever, and all you have to do is get bit by a vampire. And let's not deal with the fact that all this is not real, because the way that it's promoted is that it's just as real as all that fairy tale stuff in the Bible. I mean, folks, you got to understand, they are coming after us. But today, we are not going to talk about that. We are not going to talk about a graveyard scene gone wrong. We're going to talk about a graveyard scene gone right. Why are we going to do what we're going to do today? I don't know that I necessarily know why. I don't exactly know what God's going to use it for in your life. This is one of those weird days where I just don't get a clue. I know this is what I was supposed to do. That's about it. I do have some questions that I hope we can debrief on, and I have no idea how long we'll talk. But what we're going to get started with today is, instead of reading the story first, I thought we might hear the story. Hear the story sung. So as we move to getting started, I encourage you can do one of two things. One, you can close your eyes and you can listen. Or you can watch the movie that I put together with still shots. I don't care which one. It doesn't really matter. But I want you to hear the story. And then perhaps we'll go back and we'll read. John.
Man of the Jews, in a place where no one goes, and he tears at himself, lives with a pain that no one knows. He counts himself dead among the living. He knows no mercy and no forgiving. Deep in the night, driven to cry out loud. Can you hear him cry out loud? Man of the tombs, possessed by an unseen enemy, he breaks every chain, stakes his freedom. Yeah.
graveyard story gone right. I want to look at the passage. If you would open up your Bible to Luke chapter 8. There are a couple of different versions. We're going to look at Luke's version of this. And if two or three of you would volunteer to take turns reading, that'd be helpful. We're going to start in verse 26 and probably go verse 26 to 29 and then 30 to 37. And then I'll finish 38, 39. As I read the story, I just felt compelled to ask some questions. And I want to see what you think. Here's the first question. What does this scene, because this is not just a story, folks. Okay? This isn't a parable. This is real stuff. It really happened. It happened. So it's a scene from Jesus' life. What does it tell us about people who are hurting? What can we learn from this scene from Jesus' life about people who are hurting? Need healing. There is no hurt that's too big for Jesus to deal with. Takes intervention sometimes. And it doesn't matter how many. There is no legion too big for Jesus to deal with. We make assumptions about why people are in the state they're in. Yes, sometimes we even judge people in the state that we encounter them. Okay, not all hurts are physical hurts. There are spiritual hurts. Anything else? Okay? Once someone has had their lives changed, they've been healed, their condition does not stay the same, they want to be with the one that has changed their life. Jesus has authority over all flesh, and he also had authority over the demonic. Okay? The man was surrounded by people who also needed healing, but they seemed to be reticent to receive it. In fact, there are a lot of hurting people in this story. We just focus on the man in the graveyard. Yes. Yes. People were more concerned about their livelihood than they were the power of God. You could say that he was a figurative representation of perhaps what was going on in that town. He just happened to be the one who either through his own isolation or added to the isolation of what was going on there, he ended up there because he was uncontrollable. It happened up in Galilee. And so some of these folks, by the time that Jesus is in the area around, we don't really know whether it was a group of people named Gerasene or Gadarene. Both seem to be used interchangeably in depending on which gospel you look at. But it's around the Sea of Galilee. Okay? And there were pockets of people who were not, in quote, real Jewish because of the influence of the Samaritans. So there was some change because of all that history in the Old Testament of the Northern Kingdom being carried off and coming back. And whenever those people were carried off and people were brought in, there was a lot of mixing of religions. So there was sort of a perverted Judaism that still kind of existed there, but it was not what people would consider to be the pure Judaism. So that would be an explanation for why there were people tending pigs. But yes, that is a very good observation. That the purpose of hurting people being healed is, y'all know Alice Cooper, one of the first real grunge rocker dudes, you know, he beat Ozzy on his stuff, you know, and everybody talks about Ozzy. Yeah, and you know, there are some other, just we'll add a couple in there. Is it Brian Head Elliott? Is that his name? who is in one of these more recent rock and roll bands. I've got a testimony that he's done on his life changing and how his life changed. And then another guy in his Korn, yeah, from Korn. There you go. And then another guy in the band, that same band, also became a believer. And I've also caught a video and a testimony that he's done in an interview about how God's changed his life. It can happen. I guess we can learn that, can't we? That it can. Let's go to the second question. So what does the scene tell us about Jesus? We've kind of gone there a little bit, but let's make sure we don't leave the scene before we've made sure we've nailed down what we learned about Jesus in this. Do you not see somewhat of a very strange, I'm trying to think of a word, it's irony, there's a juxtaposition. The man runs to Jesus, but yet the demons don't want to be around Jesus. You notice that? Now, there's something in that that I think we've got to learn from. I'm not exactly sure what, but it's there. In that there was a conflict within. In that something in the man was strong enough that he was able to overcome the spiritual demonic influence in his life to get to Jesus. Okay, which kind of, I've got to delineate something for a second. Okay, and I'm speaking from my own understanding and my own belief about this at this point. I think there's ample, there's biblical evidence that would demonstrate that we invite in whatever spiritual influence may end up controlling us. And that once we've invited that influence in, it is up to us if it's going to be removed. We have to want it to no longer be there. That we have to cooperate. So the idea, the thing that we see here is the man did, for whatever reason, he was moving to Jesus, even though the spirits in charge of his spiritual bondage knew exactly what he was doing and did not want him to do that. They could not stop him from that. So I guess what I'm saying is, this important that we pay attention to the fact that there's a want to. Even though there was an, you know, as kids, don't we invite a lot of things into our lives without thinking? We're kids will say hello to anybody, right? Well, spiritually, we act like that a lot of times in that we are naive. Okay, so let me run back to Halloween for just a second. We have to not give too much glory to the evil one, but at the same time protect what we can in our kids. It's hard. Because guess what? I'm the one that has to make that choice. And if you have kids, you're the one that has to make that choice. What are you inviting in? How much are you inviting in? What are you going to allow your kids to invite in? And that's just a very, and when is it that the trigger gets pulled, and something is invited in that's bigger and badder and hairier than you can control? I don't know, but we got to be wise, and you know, yeah. Well, and that's why I mentioned it earlier, is we just have to be wise. Okay, we have to understand that it's not just my kids who are responsible for that. If I have kids, it's me. It's me. It came through me. Now, do we need to deal with that in order to beat ourselves up with? No, we just have to acknowledge that maybe we need to be wiser. and we need to make different choices. And we then need to be aware of and try to nurture the want to, so that if there's something that our children may be in some way in bondage to, that we help them understand that they can be free and that it is possible. That may take a long time because they're still too young to know that. See, right now they're locked up in what the culture's told them. Culture's told them, oh, it's just regular old whatever. You know, it's just regular old rebellion. It's just being yourself. It's just, it'll excuse it away. I've got to be careful to necessarily say demons, but there are definitely issues, and there are definitely, there's some influence there. Yes. Let's just say we're called to engage, and that there are ways that we are supposed to engage. One of those is to be hanging out with Jesus a lot more than we are, and to be focused on listening to Him. Also, part of that has to do with realizing what authority we do have and that we have received from Jesus to deal with spiritual realities, and making sure that we are in submission to Jesus in every single way, and that we are under the cloak and covering of God's people. Because we can't act like lone rangers out there dealing with evil. It just doesn't work. But let's return to Jesus. Go back. Because we've made some very good statements, very good observations. But we need to make sure we understand what we learn about Jesus here. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Okay? There was a desire within the man. I like the way Stephen said earlier, with the grace of God reaching out. And that even though the man didn't, I mean, it doesn't say he was following Jesus. He saw Jesus come up on the boat. Jesus got out of the boat, and then he ran to Jesus. But the reality is that something in who Jesus was reaching out to that man. Right. And I don't know that I can explain how all that happened in that event, but it did. And the man responded in the doing the only thing, which was maybe forcing himself to run to Jesus. In the town of the Gerasenes, or Gadarenes, when Jesus left, who was the only one who was set right in the town? Everybody else wanted him to leave. Yes, we need to be taking up that authority. Is it 1 Peter where it says that we're supposed to be sober? Where is it that that your enemy, the devil, he's out there, and you and I are supposed to be self-controlled and sober-minded and on our P's and Q's and close to Jesus, because the enemy is a-coming. And for us to live like the enemy's not a-coming, who's going to be the victim? It's hard to say because, you know, all the Gospels are connected to each other differently. They all have attestation to the same things that Jesus did, but sometimes each writer of the Gospel that put it actually down in writing, they did it with a different thought in mind or different purpose in mind. So one Gospel is a little bit more disjointed in terms of time. Another Gospel is very connected in terms of time. So, you know, the way you read Matthew and Mark might be different from the way you read Luke and John. We have to be wise about the way that the story in each one of those Gospels is woven together. I don't think it was a surprise for Jesus. So, we'll go to the next question. This is where we have to begin to deal with this ourselves. Who do we identify most strongly with in the scene? When you listen to the song, for me, the song reminds me that I'm not so far away from the guy. That there were things about me before I came to know Jesus that were ugly and awful and terrible, and I was even dumb enough to self-inflict pain upon myself. and there were things that isolated me from the truth and from grace. And it was a matter of finally seeing that God loved me enough that He kept coming after me till I finally gave up. Because that's basically what I did in 1980. I just gave up. So who do you identify with? Do you identify with the man in the tombs? Do you identify with those that were following Jesus who came over on the boat? Do you identify with the people in the town who were scared from all this spooky talk and didn't want to have anything to do with it because it was bigger than they understood, and then ended up missing the grace of God? And there's probably other people that you could point out in the story. Who do you identify most strongly with? Make it homework. Next question, John. So, what does this scene tell you about yourself? I think that since we've been listening, we've been sharing, God put something on your heart that you can share that He's shown you about yourself. And there's a protective effect in that too, in that whenever we perceive that evil wants to take a foothold or is making an advance, that we can literally speak out and rebuke that, and we do not have to accept it. In Jesus' name. Yeshua HaMashiach. You're right. If we get into the situation, and I would have to say, you know, there's a lot of places in our culture where if it is all about me, and I'm going to church because it's all about me, then any time that I have to listen to something that would remind me that it's not about me, then I'm going to shy away from that. And I'm going to go, I think Jesus called it having itching ears. Let me say this. There is a camp among American Christians who have a very staunch conviction that if a person is in Christ, that it is impossible for them to be influenced by spiritual realities, by demons. Let me tell you that whatever you invite in will happily come in and spend time with you and take control of your life. Even if you believe in Jesus. Even if He has died for your forgiveness, if you invite in the evil one will come in and take root. We still have the authority to deal with that if we choose to. But we can't just act like we can play with sin. We can't, because we do that way too easily. We think it doesn't matter. It doesn't hurt anybody. Nobody knows. But yes, it does. It will, and it's gonna. So, as people who are in Christ, we have the authority to deal with it, but we can't go playing with it. Does that make sense? Yeah. Pat Boone and Alice Cooper are buddies. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah. Out of sight, out of mind. One match to start a forest fire. Smokey the Bear. Harmless. Harmless. Attractive. Yes. Yes, the enemy is crafty, he's sneaky, he's deceptive, and he always sugarcoats everything to make it seem like this is something that we deserve or ought to have, kind of like a McDonald's or a Burger King commercial. Yes, you know, you deserve a break today, and I'll break you. Maybe not today, but I'll break you eventually. There's not many Sunday mornings that several of us have not joined before just about anybody else is here going around, where we have not prayed that that stuff can't get in here while we're here today. And that that doorway would be a barrier. Not so that the person can't come in, but whatever critters may be attached to them can't get in. And I think it was Raiders of the Lost Ark. That happened. Yeah, the guy with the big swords and kapow. Yeah. All right. You have to understand, not only is it analogies, but it's circular analogies. Three more questions. I'm just going to shoot them rapid fire. How have you been like the man of the tombs? How has Jesus changed you? And what does this scene tell you about how, why you are here right now? A couple of weeks ago, or was it last week? I can't remember. I think it was when I did 11 o'clock. We have to remember who we were before if we really want to have a passionate desire to help other people not be the man of the tombs anymore. Do you remember what it was like to be stupid and dead and moved here and there by the latest thing in order to remember what Jesus did in your life and where you are now and how good He's been and what you want other people to know? Why are we here right now? Let's pray. Lord, I pray that You keep talking to us about this, and that, Lord, we would spend time with You, and that, Lord, as we put on the person of Jesus and whatever spiritual armor comes along with putting on the person of Jesus, that, Lord, we will be wise, that we will be more sensitive and caring to those who are hurting around us, who are very, very much oppressed and abused, sometimes spiritually, sometimes in the physical world, and sometimes both. And that, Lord, we will be people who intercede and intervene on the part of heaven. Be with us now. Protect us and let us choose to be protected in the day as we submit entirely to You. In Jesus' name.